This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
What it says I am, I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, verse 22 of Luke 8 says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. This is lesson two in our series on mastering the storms of life. And we set out our objective on last week in our first lesson was that we're not here to glorify the storms or problems that believers have, but we want to build into believers a mentality for overcoming the challenges of life, the hardships of life, the problems of life. Every problem that you have is not necessarily a storm. You know, some things you have just a little passing shower. You follow me? You have a little headache. That's not a storm. It's not a health storm. You understand? You can just take you some, you know, Advil, Tylenol, or whatever you want to. You know, you can end that one right quick. You understand? But when we talk about health storm, we would be talking about something that's far more devastating than just a little headache. Amen? And, you know, you may be 10 days late on your mortgage. That's not necessarily a storm. Storm may be when, you know, you got, you know, eviction papers, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's storm now. You follow me? You know, storm is not that you and your husband can't agree on what color car to buy. That ain't a storm. You understand? Storm in a marriage would be, you know, y'all got divorce papers, you know, wagging at each other, you know, I'll take you to what, all that kind of stuff. That's storm. You understand? You got, you know, he come up, he got three, four girlfriends on you, and you follow him, you got a boyfriend on him, and all that kind of storm, that's messed up. That's, you understand? So we're not saying that every little challenge you go through is a storm, you understand? But there are some challenges, some traumatic situations that endanger the will of God or seek to cancel the will of God for your life. In our text, Jesus tells the disciples, let's go to the other side. So by him saying that, we know that he's establishing what the will of God is, because Jesus said he only did what the will of God was. So in that he said that, it was the will of God for them to get to the other side. On their way, on the course of what God had for them to do, Jesus had established for them to do, this storm arises that interferes with the will of God coming to pass. And so in the midst of this storm, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus had fallen asleep, and it appears that the disciples had exhausted all of their efforts to come out of the storm, fighting against the winds and that sort of thing. And then when they thought they were going to die, they went to Jesus, woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die here. And the Bible says he stood up, rebuked the wind and the waters. There was this calm. And then he turned to use this as an object lesson for them. And they missed the lesson altogether, missed the point altogether. He says to them, where is your faith? And after he spoke to the wind, then he turns and said, where's your faith? In other words, why didn't you do it? The winds and the waves would have obeyed you. But they missed it altogether. They were marveling at what they had seen happen. And the Bible says they were so engrossed with what manner of man was this that even the winds and the waves obeyed him. And they missed the point altogether. When we talk about mastering the storms, we're saying that you ought to be prepared to handle the storms of life that may come your way. Turn with me your Bibles now to the Gospel of John chapter 16. We have dispelled the myth that because we are believers that we will not have a problem. That is not accurate according to Scripture. In fact, almost the opposite is so. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus prepares the disciples to let them know that there are challenges in this life, even as believers. Verse 33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now we see tribulation here, that's a synonym for a stormy time in life. All right, in the Amplified it reads, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you." So in that we understand that it's the will of God for us to make it through the challenges of life, we choose not to focus on the challenge, but we choose to focus on the victorious outcome that has been promised to us. Now, as I said, every situation in life that you go through is not a storm, but we established that you need to know why things happen, why storms come, why trouble in life arises. We gave that to you on last week. Look at the person that said, "He's still reviewing." Now remember, we review not because I've forgotten, but we review because that's how learning takes place. Four basic reasons why the believer, not just the believer, but primarily believer, but storms just don't come in the lives of believers. Storm comes and problems come in the lives of everybody who's on this planet. But there are three basic reasons, four basic reasons why a believer will face a storm. Number one, because of human error. Human error. And that is, you make an error in judgment. You do something that causes the storm. It's you did it. For instance, Samson. Samson violated the word of God, the principles of God, went into sin, repeatedly lost his anointing, his power, ended up in the hands of his enemies. He brought that on himself. Number two, you go through challenges in life because of satanic attack. Satanic attack, evidenced in the life of Job. Job was attacked by the devil. It is clear. Now, even though Job said some dumb things while he was attacked that many people in the church world are not able to rightly divide the word in that, Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away," but it wasn't God that did it. In the first chapter, it is very clear it was the devil that was attacking him. All right? Job said, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." He said that to God. It's honorable that he would trust God. You follow me? Even if he thought God was trying to slay him, but that God wasn't trying to slay him. So we found out that that was a satanic attack. Number three, you face troubles and challenges in life because of the challenge of the times. And that is because of this world that we live in is subject to go through challenging times. And in that we are living in the world, we will also have to deal with some of the challenges that everybody else deals with. In the Bible, Elijah, the Bible says, the brook where he was, that he was dependent on, dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Wasn't that he had done anything wrong. It wasn't that he was out of position or out of place with God, but it dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So it is, as I said years ago, when the oil industry went belly up here in our state, then a lot of good people lost their jobs. I had to go through some challenges, but it was because the problem that was in the land. The fourth reason is because of the call of God. The call of God on your life to do things for the kingdom of God will many times cause you to face opposition, cause you to face some storms and challenges. In the case of David, the Bible says that David fought Goliath. He fought Goliath, and it was simply because of the anointing and the call of God on his life. When he walked on that battlefield that day to give some supplies to his brothers, and he heard Goliath cursing the people of God out, something in him rose up, and he could not stand to see the people of God cowering behind this one giant standing up. And so the call of God caused him to face this. So if you get those four things down, turn to Psalms 34 now. Psalms 34, the human error, satanic attack, challenge of the times, and the call of God are the reasons why we will face some storms in our lives. But regardless of the storm, regardless of the challenge, the reason for it, it is the will of God for you to come out of it on top. And that's what you need to focus on. Verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them what? All. Now that's what you got to focus on, is that it doesn't matter whether you have made a mistake. It doesn't matter whether you're under satanic attack. It doesn't matter whether the problem and trouble or storm that you're facing is because of the challenge of the times. You follow me? They shut your company down, and now you've been working all these years and your company got shut down, and now you're out looking for employment. You follow me? You're not finding employment as quickly as you thought you were going to find it. And now bills are coming in and due. You're behind and that sort of thing. Challenge of the times. That's okay if it happens, because that is still the will of God to deliver you out of them all. You got to understand that that's the will of God. And let nothing else persuade you other than what God's word says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Got it? Now, don't think that you're not, that if you're not saved, you're going to be all right. You know, I want to get saved. I'm going to stay out here, you know. No. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. And if you don't have God in your boat to help you, you're going to sink. Now, if the disciples didn't have Jesus in the boat, they've been statistics. So don't you think that you're going to that the devil is going to leave you alone because, you know, I'm lost. I might as well stay unsaved. Devil, leave me alone. No. He really going to whoop up on you, because he really don't like anything and anybody that's created in the image of God. He doesn't like you because you live on this planet, period. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, turn to your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 10. Mastering the storms of life. Verse 10. Says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and what else? Destroy. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. Now, when the believer, the saint, when the saint cannot master the storms and does not readily handle the storms that they face in life, can't get the will of God to come to pass in their lives, many times what happens is, you know, they will often seek a theology that will pacify, you know, their situation. In other words, they'll even try to find a church that's going to just kind of, you know, pacify them, to tell them, that's all right, you know, you're not supposed to overcome, you're not supposed to have victory, you know, it's just like that sometimes. You got it? Now, don't wimp out like that on the Lord. That's just really wimping out. You follow me? If the scripture says he'll deliver you out of them all, then that's what the scripture says. The will of God doesn't automatically come to pass. We understand there's a faith process to bring the will of God to pass. But by all means, hold on to what God's word says. Amen. See, you have something to do with the length of time you stay in a storm. Now, I know people don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that, see. But you have a lot to do. Now listen, the disciples toiled with that storm. You follow me? Until the water was all in the boat. You follow me? They about to sink. Then they go get Jesus. Why you didn't get Jesus at the first lightning bolt? See, we wrestle with some things far beyond the time that we really should be wrestling with them. You know, some storms can end right now. How's the person that said, did you hear that? Come on. Now remember, we're going to talk about all kinds of storms. We're going to talk about the private storms that people have. We're going to concentrate on that today. And that is a storm that a man has when he does not have God in his life. But then there's a marital storm. See, your marital storm can end right now. Today. See, you don't have to be in a marital storm past today. All husbands and wives have to do is to decide you'll quit cussing and fussing and acting a fool and get you some help and do what the folk who know what to do about marriage tell you. Amen. In that storm just like that. Amen. Oh, no, you want your way. See, so you're just going to stay right there in the storm. I'll go back up here. See, now you don't want to hear that. See, that, yeah, you have a lot to do with how long you stay in confusion. All right, we get back on, because y'all going on. They don't want to deal with that, see. Amen. Yeah, you can end your storm today. That marital storm, peace be still. We ain't got to wait till, you know, Christmas. New Year. Y'all can have a good, pleasant Thanksgiving. Storm passed over. You can end it right now. Ask the person that say, ask, are you married? Come on, ask me this. Are you married? No, then come on, let's come on. Now let's ask. Now let's get the big question. Are you in a storm? Come on, ask me. Are you in a storm? They don't have to answer. Don't have to answer. Come on, now keep preaching till tell them now. Say, the pastor said, come on, the pastor said, the storm can end today. If you wanted to. Okay, let's get back on the lesson. Back on the lesson. All right. John 10:10. Thief coming not but for the what?
Steal.
What else? And what else? What is God's outlook for us? What's God's desire for us? Jesus says, I've come that you might have. And have it how? My Lord. I mean, I don't know how people can miss that. That's his will for us. That we have life and have that life more abundant. So that means even in the midst of the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, we can have life and have it more abundantly because we have learned how to master the storms. We've learned how to master those situations that rise that are unexpected, that seek to challenge and to threaten the will of God in our lives. Turn with me the Bibles now to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Storms strike fear and causes our faith to be diminished. Storms are things that happen that seek to cancel the will of God coming to pass in our lives. Storms are things that occur that have a destructive end result. In other words, if this thing runs its course, I'm going to be destroyed, or my relationship is going to be destroyed, career going to be destroyed, finances is going to be destroyed. Storms tend to want to destroy things. Storms are situations that are designed to blow you so far off course that you can never get back on track. So when I understand a storm is not some little hiccup that you have. Amen? Because when we're talking about a person being in a storm, we're talking about this devastating situation that arises that seeks to destroy you or end the will of God for your life. And the Bible says, even in those difficult things, you're supposed to come out on top. One thing you cannot do in the storm is panic. Got it? You cannot panic in the storm. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, are you there? For whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? All right, now, Amplified says, whatsoever is born of God is victorious over the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, even our what? Our faith. So my faith is the determining factor as to whether or not I am going to be a victim in a situation or whether I will be victorious in a situation. My faith is the determining factor. So what I must understand is, I must understand that I have to be developed in faith so that I can handle the situations in life. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Let's talk about the private storm that people face. And I believe that God sent people here today who are in this private storm situation. Private storm is a person who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, has not yet established a relationship with God. Person who's lost. You may even be in church, but you're lost. Nobody ever told you about salvation. So you go through life not sure of whether you're saved or not. You go through life not sure as to whether or not you have this relationship and this confidence that God's going to keep his word, because you have never accepted Jesus Christ knowingly, accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. In every man's heart, God has built in that man a void space, a space that God reserves for himself. And nothing else will fill that void space. The only thing that will fill the void space is a relationship with God. And men go through life trying to fill that void space. Now, I say men, I'm not talking about gender here, I'm talking about mankind. People go through life trying to fill that void space with other things. to fill it with money, to fill it with relationships, to fill it with career objectives. But that nothing else will bring that sense of wholeness and completeness. The scripture lets us know in Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Amen. So it means I need to be, if when it says saved, it implies that I got to be saved from something. So obviously being lost, being without Christ, with having no relationship with him, obviously that's a dangerous place to be. Because the way God has created me, I have a need to have an allegiance to something and somebody higher than myself. That is what causes a man in some countries, men, to fall down and worship a rock. Because there is this need that's built into me to have a deity, something to worship, something to give my allegiance to, something to depend on other than myself. God placed that in us to draw us to him. When it's perverted, a man creates other idols that he gives his allegiance to and his time to. And that man is on a track of destruction. The Bible says it this way. The wages of sin is death. Got it? When sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. They say, well, Big Daddy, he did all right, he don't go to church, he got a nice car, he live in a nice house, he don't go to church, he don't know the Lord, he look like he doing better than I am. Now, don't be fooled. If the Bible says wages of sin is death, guess what? Let me tell you something about payday, when payday comes for Big Dad. See, it's just like you. You don't get paid every day for what you do. Most of us, we get paid, we go to work several days, and then there is a pay period. At the end of the period is when they cut the check. You got it? And what you're doing, you follow me, is being accrued for you. Well, the same way when the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is being accrued. And when payday come, Big Daddy, Little Daddy, all the daddies. Monika, Shanika, all of them. If you don't have the Lord, I'm telling you, you die, you go to hell. Oh, there you go, trying to scare folk. No. Not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to tell you, See, because you're not able to see this yourself, and somebody have to help. You're in such a storm that you really don't know how bad off you are. Think about it. For some of y'all who used to club and carry on act a fool, you look back at that and go, what in the world was I doing? You understand? I mean, you go in the club looking like a hoe. Yeah, you were. Just looking like a hoe. Everything all showing. By the grace of God, nobody didn't rape you. Okay. So, you look back and say, what in the world was I thinking of? Yeah. Lost. You understand? And then some of y'all, you look how much liquor you done drank up. Amen. Being in places that your head's so bad, you didn't know where you were. Yeah. Let's go here. Oh, okay. And when you wake up, you have to find out where am I? Wake up, look over, go, oh my God. Lost. Well, I come for you today. I come to help you through your storm today. Come to get you out that storm today. Amen. This lesson is just for you. Amen. To get you out the storm. Because God loves you enough not to leave you in the storm. Now, you've been made by God in a unique way, body, soul, and spirit. You're tripartite in nature. There are three parts of you. Your spirit being, you live inside of a physical body, and you possess a soul. Now, what man does is, man gives much attention to the body. Look at you, feed this body 3, 4, 5 times a day sometimes. Dress it up real nice, put nice cologne on, that's it, wash it. I mean, you take real good care of the body. Then we deal with the mind. We do a lot of things that, you know, help the mind develop. See, the soulish part of us, mind, will, imagination, emotions, and the intellect, that's the soulish part of man. And we spend money, many dollars on the mind. In school, you know, in entertainment, in things like that, you know, televisions. All that is to benefit the soulish area. But then how much time do we, and how much attention do we give the spirit man? And that's the most important part of you. That, the Bible says, is the essence of life. So what I've got to understand is, when I have no God consciousness and no relationship with God, then my life, my eternity is threatened. Because if I die in this state, I will spend my eternity, because you're going to live forever. I will spend my eternity in torment. And you go trying to scare folk again. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to frighten you. Just like the highway department. Highway department put signs up saying curve ahead, because they know the curve's ahead. You don't say, no, that's the highway department trying to frighten me. Talking about this sign, curve up ahead. You know, you don't trip on the highway department. No. You figure they know something that you don't know. So you slow down and you appreciate the sign warning you. That's all I'm doing today. I'm telling you, there is some curves ahead. And it's some curves you can't navigate through without God. I don't know, I talk to my young serious players, young players. You know, they really think they got it together. Man, you can't make it without God. No, you can't make it without God. We watch too much television. And on television, you die. You know, the end of the story, think about it, end of the story, who died? The bad guys died, the robbers died, the dealers died. That's a curve ahead. You can't make it through the curve without the Lord. So what you need is to be born again. Now, some of my veterans, I always have to get to this point, I have to see my veterans, this is just such a simple lesson. It need to be simple. Because if it wasn't simple, when you needed the lesson, you wouldn't be where you are. Amen. Now, unfortunately, we get saved and we get insensitive. And my prayer to God for this church is that that sensitivity for the loss rises afresh in us. I said in the first service, and I'll say it again, that was a service, and I'm not going to say which service, because I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody. I just want to show you how we need to develop a caring for the lost, that we seem to have lost it. We seem right now all the one just come get the word for us. But there was a person in the balcony who wanted to get saved one day. They had raised their hands for the appeal. And, you know, during the course of the appeal, I tell them they were willing to give them the opportunity to come down. And when I asked them to come down, this person there, I knew it was a new person because they had on a badge. One of the visitors, little tags there. And they couldn't find their way down. You know, they walked this way, you know. Then you could tell that the person was unsure which way to get down. And, you know, that was Christians sitting up there, and nobody moved. Now, wouldn't it have been good for somebody to have cared enough to see this person, knowing that to get down here, you got to either go downstairs, you got it, or you got to get the elevator. You got it? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we have had somebody who just cared enough to say, I'll go down there with you? Amen. Look, because look, I don't want anything to keep you from following through. Amen. You got it? You know, of course, in our church, now you have to come down the stairs and you have to come out, you know, come out in the lobby and then come through the same way or the elevator. New church, we're not going to have that. You have like cascade seating and you'll be able to come. We'll be able to watch you come all the way down. So, look, I don't want anybody to in the elevator get to thinking, should I do this or not? Yeah. Follow me? And man, it would have been so wonderful if someone had cared enough
to come all the way down with that person. So she saw the person was unsure. Got it? Usher saw it. You know, and ushers just said, you know, that's all right, they're doing their job. But we got to go beyond that. We got to care enough to reach out and touch them. So see, some of y'all saying this is just so simple. You're going to be preaching a lesson on salvation today. My God. But think about it. There's a lot of lost folk around here. There are a lot of lost folk in this church that God brought to church today. There are a lot of lost people that's going to see this television program. My God, this is a lesson you ought to be praying on. And yes, I'm real simple, because I'm not using a lot of spiritual terms, because lost folk don't understand all our spiritual terms. They don't understand redemption and reconciliation and expiation. You get lost in that. I tell them, need to be born again. They explain, what mean born? Born again is Nicodemus got confused when Jesus talked to him about being born again. He said, how can I enter a second time in my mother's womb and be born? He said, no. We talk about two different kinds of birth. You're talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. Amen. More accurately, that scripture could be interpreted born from above. It's when a man's spirit becomes alive to God. Amen. When a man becomes born again and gets in the family of God, now Jesus gets on the boat with you. So you don't have to sail through life by yourself. So until you develop the strength to speak to your storms, you got Jesus on board that can help you out. Now watch this. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What that's saying is this, is that when you as a person will say, God, I surrender. I make Jesus Lord. Your way for my life is better than my way. I understand I'm a spirit being. I understand that you made me to worship you, to serve you. And God, you know, I've been out here and done my own thing, and I'm ready to go your way now. And I believe that Jesus was your son and that he died for my sins. So since he died for my sins, you ain't mad at me no more. Amen. I know, God, you're not mad with me. You got it? So when a man understands that and says that out of his mouth, the Bible says something supernatural happened. Now, I know you hear testimonies. People say, looked at my hands and my hand looked new. I looked at my feet. Now, that's just good testimony stuff. That ain't so. It's not in the realm of feeling. What happens is your spirit becomes alive to God, and immediately your desires change. That's what's being born from above, being born again. Immediately there is this connection that's made between you and God. Now, a change may not be immediate. You know, people say, well, places I used to go, I don't go to them. But where are you? Oh, now you don't want to go there. But you may still want to go back to the same place you just left from. But now you got this God consciousness on the inside, because your spirit now is alive to God and this connection has been made. You're on your way out the storm right there. Amen. Now, God, what I got to understand now is this, is that the day I hear God, the day I have this desire in my heart to get saved, that's the day I got to act on it. Now, turn with me your Bibles now. Matthew chapter 7. Now, as I was praying for this on this lesson, Spirit of God spoke this to me. I'm going to give it to you like he gave it to me. That to master the storm, you do not need a formula. You need a foundation. Now, what most folk want when I teach anything is, give me some steps, Pastor. If I'm in a storm, give me some steps. Step one, what must I do? Step two, what must I do? Step three, what must I do? You understand? I'm going to step my way through this thing, aren't I? If you have no foundation, you will have no discipline to follow any steps. And your success in coming through any storm is based solely on the foundation that your life is built on. All right? Matthew chapter 7. Are you there? Watch this. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, two houses were built, one built on a rock, one built on the sand. Storm came on each one. The one that stood was the one that was built on a rock. Turn to Luke chapter 6, and let's get Luke's account of this same teaching. What we have to understand is not a formula that you need. Mastering the storm requires a foundation, not a formula. If I get the foundation, then when you give me the steps, I can do them. Because I'm persuaded by the foundation that I have that the steps will work. Now, and unfortunately, many folk get saved. Got it? And never get rooted in the things of God. All right. Now, it just doesn't come by hearing. Remember here in the parable, Jesus says, the person that hears and then does what it says. So a lot of people hear, but everybody won't do. When Jesus taught, we're going to get into this on next week. When Jesus taught about the parable of the soils, or the parable of the four kinds of hearers, four kinds of soils, only one-fourth of the person who, or the people who hear, he said, actually responded. Actually was a good soil that produced. And they produced at varying degrees. But I got to understand that just hearing it is not sufficient. It's a part of it, but I got to move beyond just hearing it. I have to have the boldness to act on what God's word says. All right, here's what Luke chapter 6 says. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He is like a man which built a house, watch this, and digged deep. Underline, dig deep. That's what you got to do. See, you got a big person that says, time to go deeper. All right, dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, it could not shake it. My God. Whew. If you dig deep, build your house on the foundation, on the truth of God's word, when the storm comes, it won't even shake you. Watch this. All right, it says, for it was found upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. So I got to understand that the storm is going to come. Your preparation is going to determine whether or not you're going to stay in the storm. And the preparation is you taking the time to dig deep, to go the extra mile of the way to make sure your life is founded upon a rock, or founded upon the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Now, turn with the Bible to John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8. To be founded now is to be rooted, to be confirmed, it's to be established, strengthened with an unwavering assurance on the spiritual order of God. I got to say that again. When I'm rooted, when I'm founded, when I'm built on a rock, that means I understand the spiritual order of God. So I'm not shaken when something happens. I understand, yes, the devil can attack me. So what? I'm still supposed to come out on top. I'm not going to look for some wimpish church to give me a theology that satisfies me. I'm going to stick with a church that challenges me to overcome this situation.
Hallelujah. Now, four factors that I've got to be persuaded on to be founded, to have a good foundation in the Word of God. First of all, before we get to those four, let's deal with the sand. Many people, their lives are founded on sand. What do you mean sand? Number one, religion. See, a lot of folk go to church, and most folk don't know the difference between the Word and emotion. They think because somebody opened the Bible and read the scripture, oh, he teaching the Word. No, he's not. You teach the Word when you show how to apply this, not just talk about it. And you got to do some digging deep to do that. Yes. Little story here. You know, I got to give my little side stories. Years ago, everybody say years ago, because Bridget and I have been in the Word for about 19 years, about maybe two and a half, three years before we started the church. We actually got serious in studying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and how to apply the Word of God, even before we started the church, started a new direction for the church. I was in a denominational setting, and had a couple of friends in the denomination setting that was there. And we all basically got the Word together, understanding of Word of faith together at the same time. I remember just kind of how it happened was that I was over at one of his brother's house, and I saw a book, I think, by Kenneth Hagin. And so, you know, we was in the Baptist setting now. You know, you don't be reading over Kenneth Hagin back then, so you don't read none of that. So, you know, I saw the book. I said, man, you read Kenneth Hagin? He looked at me like, yeah. I had been reading them too. See, I had snuck over to Lakewood. I had been over Lakewood and got me some books too, see. But you know, see, at that time, you'd be telling nobody you read no Kenneth Hagin and me going on Lakewood, nothing like that, because that wasn't popular at all, see. But then I asked him another question. You filled with the Spirit? He just looked at me and said, yeah. I got me to ask this next question. You speak with tongues? He's looking at me, you know, and I'm looking at him. He say, yeah. I say, me too. So when I did that, you know, it was this sigh of relief, like, got it? So but about that time, we both basically got the Word around the same time, and it's three of us, and we were studying the Word of God together. In fact, his church was much larger than my church was at that time. He could go to the camp meetings and that sort of thing. I couldn't even travel. I couldn't barely get back and forth to church. There's no trying to get out of town and go to somebody's meeting. And so what my wife and I would do, we would give him and his wife money on the tapes. And after they buy the tapes of the meeting and come back, after they finish listening to them, then they'd give them to us, and we'd listen to them. I've done pretty good on hand-me-down tapes, huh? So, we all, three of us, our brothers, were studying the Word together, getting revelation, and felt and sensed that God wanted us to step out, and that God wanted us to leave the denomination to build ministries that he put in our hearts to build without any denominational restraints. And we set a day that we were going to all do it. Never forget it. And Saturday night, we all prayed and said, we're going to do it tomorrow. Got it? So, and next, you know, Sunday evening, I called them, and they both of them talking funny. You know, I stood up that Sunday and made my declaration. You know, we'll no longer be New Light Missionary Baptist Church. We'll be New Light Church World Outreach and Worship Center. Going on with God. 277 folk left. Left me with 23, but I'm still going on with God, you understand? Yeah. So, but I call them, and they all make an excuse. So I say, man, y'all didn't do it? No, man, we got too much to lose. Huh? But I thought you say God. Over these last 16 years, well, one of my members
was in another city because one of the guys had left town. And this pastor came up to her and asked her, what church are you a member of? And she told him, she said, I'm a member of New Life Church. He said, oh, Hilliard, Pastor Hilliard. And he really told her, because she had overheard me get his testimony. And he rehearsed the whole testimony with her and said how he had not done it. And he has wasted all these years. He was still no further along than he was 16 years ago. Amen. See, he didn't want to dig down deep. Amen. He didn't want to pay the price. And now, really, one location we have here is bigger than both of those guys' churches put together. Amen. See, being willing, now just say that to put them down. I want to just give an illustration, you see. You got to understand that every day you waste. It's a day you can. It's a day that you lose something. Amen. Got to dig down deep. You got to be willing to go. See, and what has to happen is, number one, this word's got to be true. That's four things. Number one, the veracity of the word. Everybody say veracity. Now I use that word veracity because I got all you know, I like to use, you know, some certain alliterations here, and all my things today start with a V. So I needed a word for truth that meant that started with a V. And that word is veracity. I is a doctor, remember. So write that, veracity of the word. All right. So that is, you have to be persuaded on the truth of the word of God. John 8:31. Did you go there? John 8:31. And we're getting ready to wrap it up. Anybody getting blessed today? See, I got to get you on. I got to get you to build. I got to get you founded right on this thing. Because, see, you can make it through storms. You can make it. You can make it and not even be shaken by them. All right, verse 31 says, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. You got to be persuaded that this is more than just a book. That this Bible is your key. Got it? This is your key. This is your answer. This is your advantage. This is what's going to put you over. Amen. So you got to get persuaded on this, that this word, this is the truth, that this is your reality. Amen. My perspective of what's real changed when I read the word of God. Amen. The Bible says the word is truth and everything else is a lie. What is real to me is what God says. Amen. I am persuaded that this is truth. And when you know truth, facts don't bother you. Mm. See, facts may say you don't have any money. That's a fact. But the truth says your God will supply all your needs. The truth says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, which means to be abundantly supplied. And what you have to understand is, you got the blessing on you right now. I'm about to slip into my lesson for the night. I better stop. I'm about to slip into my lesson for the night. See, that's the truth. The truth is, right now you're blessed. Right now there's an invisible, intangible, spiritual anointing on your life that make folk want to go out of their way to help you. That can put you in places where education can't put you. See, when you, that's the truth. Look for a second, and that's the truth. You understand? The truth is, by his stripes I was healed. So no matter what my body says, it doesn't change the truth. I got to be persuaded on the veracity of the word. Secondly, I must value the word. Now, when I value the word, turn with me in the Bible to Proverbs 4. When I value the word, I make the word of God a priority. That's a personal thing that I have to do. You got to ask yourself a question. Is this word a priority? I can tell you, for many of you, it's not. You put more effort good in the work than you do coming to church. Hallelujah. See, you wouldn't dare miss as many days out of work as you miss coming to church. Amen. Now, my good members make it once a week.
Them are good members. You become a great member when you make it, you know, to Bible study and the church. But the most of them come every once in a while. Yeah. If you value this word, you're going to be here to get this word. You got to understand the tape is all right, but I want to be in the atmosphere of the anointing. See, I got to understand that when I value this word, see, we value the word like we need it. We would not need membership services having to pull a list of what we call slothful members. Folk who we just about to ready put off the roll, because we have to keep an accurate, you know, counting of members, because I don't want an inflated membership roll. So if a person don't come, after a while, we need to call them. We need to call them and just smile, you know, where? And then we call them and go, don't y'all take my name off. I'm still a member. You tell Pastor, I'm going to be there. Oh, come on here. No, if you value the word of God, nobody would have to call you. I doubt whether your boss calls you every morning and asks you to come to work. I don't know if that's anointing in the flesh on that. I almost said bring your tail to work. I might be slipping out of anointing into the flesh. I'm going to stop that. Yeah. Then when you go through a problem, membership service come to the hospital, a doctor done told you some funny stuff about your body, and then the preacher come there to pray for you, you know, and you all shaking, you ain't, you know, and he's saying, you know, by his stripes you're healed. No, I ain't healed. I'm just as sick as I can be. Don't you go there. No foundation. Then we just have to comfort the feeble mind. Oh, you got to value this word. I listen to 2 hours of the word every day. Faith comes by, and hearing by. And if the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you, I don't understand why you won't listen at the word. Look, you too broke to be listening at jazz. You too broke. That's right. Is it a sin to listen at? No, you just too broke to listen at jazz. You need to be listening at the word. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Verse 20, Proverbs 4:20. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. When I make the word a priority, my God, nobody has to be on me to come here. I make the word a priority. How dare you lay up in the bed? Yeah. My God, I don't understand that. Got to make it a priority. Hallelujah. All right, number three is that I'm persuaded that when I give voice to the word, things happen. Now, there in the Bible says in Luke 17:6, the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith, and he told them he had faith as a grain of mustard. You might say to this sycamine tree, be up plucked up by the root planted in the sea, and he said, and it should obey you. Amen. You must understand that when you put God's word in your mouth, things happen. See, I got to be grounded in this. If I'm going to make it through the storm, I just can't hop up in the middle of the storm and try to find a formula. Step one, do not panic. Step two, remember what the Lord said before the storm. Step three, storm be done whooped you by then. You ain't gonna get there. Yeah. But I gotta be grounded. See, I gotta understand that look, when I say something, things happen. I gotta work with this a little bit more. Go ahead. Look, y'all have been hearing me saying that I believe 30,000 folk are looking for this church because we are believing for a membership of 50,000. Don't you just think that's an idle statement I'm making. I say it all over the country. Now, everywhere I go, I say it. And I love when the anointing come on me. I just say it and say it and say it. That's right. 30,000 folk, sinners. They're looking for this church. And the Holy Spirit and the angels are helping them find their way. Now see, I believe when I say it, something happens. That just all of a sudden, that new light comes to people's minds. You know, that folk be flipping through the dial and stop and say, oh, yeah, I need to go there. I believe the Spirit of God is drawing. See, I believe when I say it. That's because when I had 23 members, I said 18,000 folk were looking for me. Now look, don't just marvel at me. You got to understand, when you say something, things start happening. My God. When you start saying, I believe I receive. Something happens in the spirit realm. Angels get busy. The Bible says they hearken to the voice of his word. So that means when you say, I believe I receive, angels start moving. The favor of God is released in the earth, and folks start looking for you to help you. Got to give voice to the word and got to believe that when you say something, things happen. Because the Bible says you have what? You say. My God, isn't that awesome? My God, that you can affect your world with your mouth. Just a little pressure on the tongue can yield tremendous results. Everybody said, just a little pressure. You know, I don't stop. You don't get this, but you know, I got braces. Y'all know I see got braces on. You understand? You know, braces on my teeth. You understand? And I've been amazed at what a little pressure can do. I mean, you know, they just put a little rubber band on there, a little band, and they tighten it, and it's able to move bone on bone around. You know, I called the dentist. I said, now, this is amazing. No, it's just really amazing. You know, I've had about a quarter of an inch gap all my life. And I'm going to tell you, you know, the thing just closed up. Just a little pressure. Everybody said, just a little pressure. See, it won't take much to change your circumstance. Just a little pressure on your tongue. Just a little bit. At the retreat center, we're building a lake, and they have a little trickle of water that's coming from one of the wells to fill the lake. And that little trickle of water has dug, what'd you call that? Trench, a gully, of about what? That thing is about 3, 4, 5, 6 feet? Just a drip. Just a little steady stream. Just a little bit. Your whole situation can change if you just start putting a little pressure on your mouth. That's it, just a little bit. But you gotta be convinced when you say it. Something gonna happen when you say it. My God. Woo. Oh my God, I'm gonna. See, that's the foundation you got to have, is that when you say enough, amen. I mean the devil's tormenting your mind, you can't hardly sleep. You got to understand, when you stand up, when you raise up out of that bed and say, that's enough, he keeps me in perfect peace. And then you tell the devil, like, look, you better leave me alone. And lay back down and expect to go back to sleep.
declare he gives me sweet rest.
All right, number four. I got close.
They're going to be upset with me at the South. Finally, victory of the word. I got to be persuaded of the victory of the word, that the word's going to bring me victory. It's predictable results. Mark chapter 16. Amen. Bible says, woo. Yes, Bible says, wealth and riches shall be in your house. When I first said that, when I first saw that in the word of God, had nothing but cheap furniture in my house. Ah, glory. But I went talking to all that furniture. I said, I call you replaced. You cheap. You have no business being in my house. Look, you ain't got nothing to lose. Some of y'all need it when you get to the parking lot. You don't need to wait till you get home. You need to get to the parking lot. I said, no. This is not the will of God for a child of God to be driving this wreck. I deserve better. And speak to it and say, I call you in place. But until you get in place, you better act right. Get in there, turn the key, go with the word. Look, what you got to lose? You have nothing to lose. It's time to get radical about this thing. It's time to get a little wild about it. You understand? The ground for the 5,000 seed is coming up. I speak to it every day. I make a special trip around and go around it and talk to it. And I call that building up out the ground. I'm persuaded. See, but you can't tell me, well, theologically, theologically, Jesus spoke to the tree. But however, you're not Jesus. And, the furniture is, I will agree that it is made of wood. However, that wood is dead. And therefore, you have no right to speak to the tree. Jesus said the sycamine tree would be plucked up, planted by the roots. But it was a living thing. Pastor Hill, you have no business talking to dead things. When you get the results I got, I'll listen to you. All right, come on. I got to close. The victory of the word. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, give him a signal. I'm just about out of time. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, doing what? Confirming the what? Confirming the what? The word with what? That's what you got to understand, that God has made a commitment to confirm his word. My God, he's going to do it for you for his word's sake. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I got to understand, I can predict my results. I can predict my victory based on his word. I tell you, when a believer walks around with a victorious mentality, when the storm rises, ain't no problem. Because I already know I'm coming out on top. I'm out of time, y'all. Whew.